Well, I'm very thankful to be here. It's been a while since we've been in Kentucky, and we're very thankful to be back here with you. You know, in my heart, I believe the Lord uses his ministry in different ways. He has a purpose. He fits us all together. And I certainly enjoy the ministry that is here and what the Lord has done through them. And I would be very happy to sit and listen today. But I feel like the Lord's given me just a little thought for you. So I want to share it with you. Before we start, we want to bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, you know that we're here, dear God, to hear from you, Lord. And we know that we want your spirit to have control of what's said and done here, Lord. So we ask that you would do that, Lord. We want you to know that we would rather have you than anything, dear God. So please be with us and help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about the grace of God this morning. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And I'm going to use a word. I want to talk about availing ourselves of the grace of God. Now, avail is not actually in the Bible. So I'm using a word that came to me, but the principle is definitely here. The word avail means to profit oneself, to turn to advantage, to assist or profit, to be of use or advantage, to answer the purpose, advantage towards success. So avail differs from just utilizing something in that you're utilizing it for the purpose it was meant for and experiencing the success it was meant to bring. So we're not talking about using the grace of God this morning. We're talking about availing ourselves of the grace of God. The grace of God incorporates many things in it. It incorporates forgiveness, but it also incorporates grace to help in the time of need, the ability to endure, the ability to succeed as a Christian in life. And so we don't want to just use the grace of God this morning. I believe that's an epidemic in the Christian world today, that people are just kind of using the grace of God to get over whatever bumps they're just allowing to exist in their life, instead of availing themselves of the grace of God so that they can be successful and eradicate some of those bumps that come in life. They don't have to be there if we truly avail ourselves of the grace of God. So we want to think about that this morning and look at Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and we'll start with the 14th verse here. And it says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." The Lord's expecting some bumps to get removed in our life. You know, we by nature and by the sinful nature that is in us, that grace is working to not only eradicate but conquer in our life, those words mean basically the same thing, so I guess I repeated myself there, but it's working to present something to the Lord. When we come to the judgment, God is not expecting to see the same individual that he looked upon who cried to him for mercy and forgiveness for sins, and that we're that same individual that we were in that moment. The Lord has grace to help in the time of need. He has grace to conquer things in our life. And when we come presented before him at the judgment, if the grace of God has worked in our life, it's going to look different than the man that lived in sin. And it's going to look different than, I'm just going to tell you this, the more grace of God works in your life, the more it institutes those fruits of his spirit in your life, the more we become like Christ. Now, when you get saved, the Lord has cleansed you, he has forgiven you from sins, and he can keep you from sin, but there is a work to be done in us. There's patience to be developed. There's things that grace has to take us through to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit in our life. And so, follow peace with all men in holiness. Here is the work that grace wants to do in our life. If we're confused about what is it, how is it that we're going to be presented, we can look at these two things. Grace will bring peace, and grace will bring holiness in our life. Those are the things it will exhibit. Those are the things we should see growing, more and more evidence of those things in our life. That's a sign that grace is working in us and that we're availing ourselves of the grace of God. So it says that without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently. So now this tells me in what we're talking about this morning that this is not happenstance. I didn't just get saved and it's just going to happen. It's just going to, by the nature that I was saved, the work that's trying to be done here is just going to happen. I don't have to worry a thing about it. I'll just go on my life and maybe even read my Bible and do all these things. But if I do that, it'll just happen. No, there has to be some diligence. When I read my Bible, there has to be an effort there to take in what I'm reading, to assign it to my heart, to assign it to my mindset, whatever you want to, however you want to think it, that I take this now is what, let's say it this way. When they would enter into the temple, representative of our salvation and sanctification, they not only offered a sacrifice of blood there outside the temple, there was also water to be washed in. And let us just say this morning, a representation of that is that I am saying this is now who I am. This is who I am to be. This is what I want to be seen out of my life. I want everything that's not like this to be washed away. I want to mirror the Word of God. And so when I read the Word of God, I don't just read it to say that I know it. I read it to take it into my life. That there's got to be a diligence there to have that kind of mindset and understand that there's a work to be done. And it's going to take my attention. I'm going to have to pay attention to it if I want to be successful at it. All right? So looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. So the word fail here means to be inferior, to fall short. There is no reason. I want us to understand. I don't want to leave here today and have you with some idea that man, I found the grace of God, and I never again had to say I'm sorry. I never again had to go back and say that wasn't right, what I did. I never again had to go back and say, I didn't have a lot of patience. I didn't show you kindness. I showed you things opposite of what I should have showed you in my nature and my reaction to you. That's part of the work that the Lord's doing us. That's why he says in one place, he chastens whom he loves. He doesn't just do that because he just says, you know what, I think I'll chasten whom I love. He does it because it's needful in our lives as Christians. It's needful that the Lord comes along and corrects us because it's something we're learning. It's not who we've been. It's not who we are by nature, but it is something that God is putting inside of us and working on. So, but there is definitely no reason why we have to fail of the grace of God, to fall short of what it's trying to work in our life. The devil wants us to think it's impossible or to think there's a possibility, and we begin to allow the grace to work in our life, and we come to one of those moments where we realize, wait a minute, that didn't look like Christ there. That I just did or that I've been doing that God has brought to my realization, that didn't look like Christ. Now, in that moment, the devil also wants us to feel like, that's it. Well, I guess I failed. No, the grace of God, if we're determined and we're diligent and we're passionate about this, the grace of God will work its work. And it will involve correction. It will involve all those things. But it will never fail. It will not fail. The only way it can fail is that we give up hope that it could possibly fail. Or we come to a place where we're not willing to listen to what it's telling us we have to do. God's got all the mercy we need, all the grace we need to go with us through those things. But we have to say, I'm willing to do it, Lord, help me. I don't know how many times, maybe even on the same issue, I've said, Lord, help me. Well, okay. I'll just tell you one on myself. I've been talking to the boys this week. And in the last couple of weeks, we've been having a little talk about how we should speak, especially with those close around us, and how we should speak to them with gentleness, with grace, and how we should just have kind words for them. And even in the point being, sometimes you don't feel like it, but you are sometimes you may not feel like it because you just don't feel you're having some struggles in yourself, or you're just not paying close enough attention. But that is something we should focus on. And I had to go back to one of them. I haven't had a chance to go back to the other and say, you know what? Remember what we were talking about? Well, it's a work in progress. I've realized that I need to pay closer attention to some things that I've said and all, and be more careful with that. And so that is there, but that in no way means that the grace of God has failed or that I have failed. It means that there's a work going on, and that it will be successful if I continue to be willing to put my heart into it and my efforts into it and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to pay closer attention to this. I want to be more careful about this in my life. Lord, help me. The Lord will help me. He's a merciful Father, and He loves to see that kind of heart in us. And so He will help us. But if we begin to be not diligent in our life, if we begin to not care about those things, and we begin to get frustrated by the fact that I'm having to say I'm sorry again, and I'm just about to the point I'm not willing to do that, here's where we can fail of the grace of God. That's how it happens. It only happens when we begin to not willing to keep that. What is that that's supposed to be the sacrifice today? They offered all kinds of sacrifices before, but what is it called for the sacrifice today that we're supposed to offer? That we present ourselves a living sacrifice. A living, the connotation is there, guys, it's going to be, you're going to have to stay there. You're going to have to stay on that. You're not going to do this one time and it's done. You're going to have to stay there on that altar. But it's how we're successful as Christians. It's not a failure to realize you're still having to be on that altar. That's where the success is. As we're willing and determined to say, Lord, this is just another part of it. Lord, I love you with all my heart. I'd rather have you than anything there is in this world. So, Lord, this is how we're going to make it. This is how we're going to make it, Lord. I know you can accomplish this in my life. And so we stay there, and then we don't fail of the grace of God. And we don't want to fail of the grace of God because the grace of God, what are His fruits of His Spirit? That is what His grace is coming to implement in our life. What are they? They're peace, they're kindness, they're gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. And I've got them out of order, so I'm going to miss some. I should have tried to say them in order, but you understand what I'm saying. They're all the things that bless our lives. The results of those things are blessings to our families, to our spouses, to our loved ones, to our coworkers. They are blessings. When we live that kind of life, we get the best out of life that can possibly be gotten. We leave no room. If there's an offense, if we truly could have those that just flowing out of us at all times, and we manage to allow the grace of God to conquer those things in our life, there's no sorrow added to that. We've given the best chance to have the best relationships and opportunities we can possibly have in life when that's what's being manifested through us. We don't want to fail of it. So if we do fail of the grace of God, guess what happens? It says right here, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Do you know, I understand that the Lord, that all of us, there's been times we've interacted with people who failed of the grace of God in our life. And maybe as a child, maybe it was a parent, or maybe it was another person. And we have a call, we were called to forgive that. That's part of the grace of God working in our life. But yet we live with the effect of that. I don't want my children, I don't want those around me living with the effect of something, even if they forgive me. Lord, help me to be determined to allow your grace to work in my life, because I don't want them dealing with the effect of something opposite than that happening. Because if I don't avail myself of the grace of God, if I'm determined just to be who I am and just let it roll, there's going to be bitterness. There's going to be negative effects from that. It's just who we are. We leave a trail of problems behind us when we're just allowing ourselves to be manifested in life. But that doesn't have to happen. The Lord can give us grace to help in the time of need so that we can become more like Him, so we can leave a trail of blessings behind us. And yeah, there's going to be situations, but y'all understand what I'm talking about. We're not talking about the momentary loss, but when someone just fails of the grace of God, then the effects you begin to see around them and in their life. I don't want that in my life. I want to be determined to avail myself, not just to use the grace of God, but to use it successfully for its purpose in my life. You know, is there a marker here? Yes, there is, right here. And if it works, we'll be good. If not, I'll just mentally try to give you a picture here. All right. So here is an individual. And walking through life, and life is just kind of raining down. I didn't go to school for art, by the way. So life is just kind of raining down on them, okay? And just to try to give an idea of what happens without the grace of God here, this is how it is without the grace of God, all right? It doesn't mean you're always walking around with a frown, but that's the kind of things that are happening around you because of what life does to us and the way it comes, all right? The grace of God, what that word means is charis, I don't know exactly how you say it. That's the Greek word. And in the definition of that Greek word, it means the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. That's within the definition of that word that we see is grace. You see how it's so much more than it's presented in our world? Because it does carry mercy and forgiveness, but it's so much more than that. It carries a power with it to change who we are and what we're doing. So let's implement the grace of God here into this situation. All right, and so you have this person over here walking through life, and life is raining because life just rains. The word said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil of it. Well, the word evil, of course, it includes sin, but it means so much more than that. It means the negative effects of this life, okay? That you, well, and maybe I should just include that with sin because I'm talking spiritually, meaning spiritually. But things are, and maybe I need to take those out here. But here's what's happening. And that means a smile is always on our face. Don't misinterpret the picture here. But the reflection of God now is being seen, and there is a difference. In the same situation, nothing has changed about the situation. The person is still the same person, so to speak. But there's a reflection of God now in the life of that person. This is the reality of salvation. This is the reality of sanctification. And you know, the Lord didn't make two separate buildings. He just put a division within the building. And what I mean by that is we enter into one temple. And as we enter into that temple, we move towards that holiest of holies, that place with the Lord. But we don't step outside and go to another place. We're in that place where the Lord wants us. And in this place, the grace of God can work, okay, in our life. And this is the effect, once again, not all the time smiles. But just saying, there's a reflection of something different out of the life of a Christian who is availing themselves of the grace of God. All right? Lest any root of bitterness springing up. You know, grace of God works as a weed remover. You know, we hear all these songs about how rain makes the flowers grow. Well, rain makes weeds grow a whole lot faster than it makes flowers grow, okay? And weeds will overtake the flowers. The reality of life is that if we're just sitting over here, the rains of life, the weeds are going to overcome the flowers, just the way it is. It's the nature of this world and the way it works. We need the grace of God because the grace of God is the only thing that can keep those weeds at bay, can remove those weeds, can move them out of the way and keep the ground safe for the flowers to come up and not allow the weeds to choke it out. So we need the grace of God in our lives. So how do we avail ourselves? Well, by following the Bible. I mean, there's so many things. I'm going to focus in on one point this morning. And I don't by any means mean this is the only thing we need to do, but this is a mindset so that we need to take that Paul took. I'm not going to turn and read these verses, but Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about glorying in his infirmities. He says that in 2 Corinthians 11 and 30 and 2 Corinthians 12 and 5, that he would glory in his infirmities. And so I'm going to tell you before we go through this that here is one of the main secrets to get a hold of in allowing the grace of God to work in our life, okay? The word glory here means to vaunt or boast. Infirmities means feebleness, malady. I don't think I'm saying that word right, and I just can't get in my head how to say it right. So if I'm not, M-A-L-A-D-Y, malady. And for some reason, it doesn't sound right to me this morning. But anyways, moral frailty. So why would I glory in these things? There's got to be a reason why Paul said that. So let's look and see, why did he say that? And I'm going to tell you, this is one of the big secrets, like I've already said, to being successful of availing ourselves of the grace of God. All right, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. We'll pick up that thought with Paul there that he's talking about. All right, 12 and 8, maybe he's speaking of this situation, this messenger saved Satan to buffet him. And said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Now, if you don't mind, let's just ask the Lord to help us here. Dear God, we believe we come to an important part of this message, and we want to be able to get it out correctly, and we feel a need to pray. Just stop for a moment and ask you again to help us, Lord. We are very frail, and we need you very much, dear God. So please help us now. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. So, it says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Now, what Paul's going to tell us is he realized that wasn't really what he needed to be doing. And so I'm going to go ahead and tell you, when situations come in life, that we don't need to have a mindset of how we can get out of them. You know, but we need to seek the Lord as to how we can make it through them. And there's a very real difference in those two things, okay? If we want to be successful of the grace of God, we're going to have to be willing to accept some things in our life. Because by nature of who we are as humans, the Lord can't just say, okay, do this, do this, do this, and we get it. Oh yeah, got it. Okay. We have to go through situations, okay? So he was seeking the Lord just to remove it from him. And the Lord said unto him, there in the ninth verse, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Remember what we said earlier? His grace will not fail. It just will not. There is nothing in life that we go through or we face, even as humans and all of our frailties, that the grace of God cannot help us conquer in our life, cannot bring us through, cannot bring us closer to the Lord, that somehow that thing would be an impediment or a wall to us. It doesn't exist. The grace of God can enable us to be victorious in whatever it is that we're facing in life. When you aren't, realize that the Lord's working on you. He will chasten you, and just continue to dig with him until you see the victories that he wants to work in your life. Because he will work those victories through his grace. All right, so it says, "My grace is sufficient for you." That means it will handle this absolutely 110% without problem. It will take care of it. Oh, great. So, Lord, so that means you're fixing to remove this from my life, right? And no, what the Lord's saying is it will carry you through this, okay? And he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know, to get an idea of what the Lord is saying to us here, let's think about how he said, "I came not for those who are well, but for those who are sick." And I paraphrased that and kind of missed it a little bit. But those that are well need not a physician, but those that are sick. And close to the poor and needy. Blessed are the poor and needy. The Lord wasn't saying that there's a certain lack of wealth or a certain inability that has to be present in our life. The truth is that every one of us standing before our Creator is poor and needy. I mean, we all are in that classification. What matters is whether we recognize that or not. Okay? So when the Lord says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness," the truth is that the strength of God, the weakness of God, is far stronger than any strength of man. We are all weak before our Creator. We're all weak before our enemy, Satan. We are not as strong as we think we are, as one person said one time. All right? We are all weak. It's a matter of recognizing. And so what the Lord is saying here is, "My strength is made perfect when you realize your weakness, when you realize your need for me. You realize that you can't be victorious in this situation, that it is." And you know, sometimes that's why we keep hitting a wall and failing over and over, because somehow we're just not to the point where we're saying, "You know what, Lord, I can't do this." We still got that mindset, "Lord, I know I can do this. I'm going to do this. At some point in our life, the Lord brings us to points where we have to say, "I can't do this." That has to be brought to our attention, but that's where the strength of God can be made most manifest in our life, when we realize our need and our weakness before Him. So Paul says then, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. This is why. Not just, like we see in a world, oh, I can't do anything. That's not what we're talking about. You know how Satan's got a whole message out there? All you have to do is say, I can't do it. I'm just helpless. I'm just going to be who I am. That's not what's going on here. The work of the Lord is that we say that with honesty before the Lord to see the effects of his power then that can work in our life and change who we are. The truth is that we can't conquer Satan. We can't defeat him in ourselves. But the grace of God can. And if we'll recognize that fact that we need the grace of God in our life, then we can be victorious. The Lord can enable us then. I will, therefore, he said, this is why I will glory in my infirmities. Because when I realize them, when I realize my need, then the power of Christ can rest on me. Then I can gain the victories I need in life. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I'm always weak. When I realize my weakness and my need for God, then I can be strong. I wanted to just read, and I meant to bring a song book up here, and I didn't. I wanted to read a verse there. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, 485 here. I want to point out a specific verse in this song. I wasn't really thinking about this song entirely in connection with the message, but this third verse here stands out to me. It says, enemies may strive to injure. Now, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, with rulers of darkness of this world. It's not speaking of a certain president or a certain senator. It's speaking of Satan and his imps and the spirits that are in this world that seek to destroy us. Those are our enemies. There's no certain president or senator who is our enemy. We're all brothers, all lost sheep that the Lord wants. Some of us found, some of us lost, okay? But our enemy is Satan and his imps and the spirits that would try to tear us away. So as we read this, let's understand that. Enemies may strive to injure. Satan, all his arts employ. All of them, every single one of them, all right? Do we see that? You know, we went through necessities, persecutions, distresses. Do we see the struggles we have in life? Do we always see that the Lord is trying to do a work in life? Satan is trying to steal our faith, steal our hope in Christ, steal it away. That's what life's really about. It's not whether I'm well or I'm sick or all of these things. It's about the effect that's having on my life spiritually. That's what matters. That's where the battle is. That's why Satan's bringing these things upon us, why God's allowing it to work his victories in our life. This is not, sometimes we separate life from spiritual. But this is, life is where Satan is working and employing all his arts that he possibly can to discourage us, to turn our hearts away, to make us feel like we're going to fail. We can't make it somehow. Life is where that's happening. So here in life, enemies may strive to injure, Satan all his arts employ. He, speaking of Christ, will turn what seems to harm me into everlasting joy. When whatever that struggle is, sickness, whatever I'm facing in life, that Satan seeking to discourage me, to tear me down, the Lord didn't allow that to come into my life so that that's what would happen. His grace is sufficient. He allowed it to come into my life so that I could see the victories. When I am weak, then his strength is made perfect in my weakness. When I am weak, then I am strong. In myself, no, in the Lord. Then I realize how much I need him. And then the Lord can come in and do his work. The grace of God, I can be availed of it. And I can be living this life where, no, there's not a smile on my face all the time. But there's a smile in my heart. Because the Lord's grace is working, and it's working successfully in my life. You pray for me.